Hey guys, Keith Finch here, and joining me today is only the one in, I guess, whoever he is.
It's me,
I've only got Joey today, guys. Caleb is off doing Tori things with the Taurus guys at the Taurus headquarters. Not when you are viewing this, if you're viewing this on OAM on Sunday, but if you are hearing about this today, he's probably uploading it from the office, to be honest. So it's just Joey and myself today. We are, as always, brought to you by Taurus, the wonderful folks there, who aren't joining us today, and Bleecker Street Publications, who are very well represented today. And if Paul joins us, he will continue being very well represented. So Taurus is the slacking sponsor today, but we still like them. Anyway, we've gone a little heavy on politics recently, so I want to go back to more philosophy rather than politics, the philosophical discussion. So today, Joey and I are going to discuss the one gun conundrum, the proverbial, if you could only have one gun, what would it be and why? And Joey, start it off for you right now. If you could only have one gun for your current living situation, what would it be and why?
So for me right now, I'm in a more I'm more in the city, so I would have to go with a handgun just for protection and all of that. But growing up, I would definitely have gone with like a 308 or something like that because I'm from a farther out. So one of my things is I'm going to be shooting, like I hunt, so I want something that I can hunt. I can do all of that stuff with. You can hunt with a handgun. People do it. No bad blood between them, but just not my cup of tea. So I would definitely say growing up, it would 100% be a 308 rifle, whether that's an AR-10 platform or even a bolt action, just something where I can hit some distance and still take down what I need to take down.
And I think you hit the nail on the head with the first comment too, is we've seen, and as new listeners no doubt know, the reason for owning firearms shifted in the last 30 years. The last 3 decades have seen a significant shift in the reason owning firearms when we look back in the 90s all the way to 2025 right now. Joey doesn't remember the 90s. Joey wasn't made yet.
Nope.
I do. I was born in the 80s. But hunting and sport were the primary reasons to own a firearm back in the 80s and 90s and previously. It had a lot to do with the various sports. Nowadays, the most common reason to own a firearm has shifted to personal protection. Therefore, the one gun that people own has also shifted. Back in the day, I'd be with Joey. It'd probably be a bolt action of some sort for all around, hunting purposes. You could also do a shotgun, either a pump action or a semi-auto shotgun. That could be configured for deer and medium game and turkey and waterfall, and just a shotgun to do just about anything. And you might even have a short, like police style, personal protection style barrel, like an 18.5 barrel that goes with it too. And you could just kind of configure it for whatever it is you are doing at the time. And then if it was left at home, above the mantle, the proverbial above the mantle, just in case, then you could deal with it there. But again, we've shifted times, and for the last decade, especially probably the last 2 decades, I'd say that the one gun, the proverbial one gun, would be a good handgun, a carryable handgun. So something roughly mid-size. If we were picking it today, I'd say something like Taurus GX4. Shout out to Taurus, IWI's Masada Slim, SIG's 365 XL, the Smith & Wesson Shield Plus, going down the list of just the slim carryable nines, and you will see the proverbial one gun, the most useful gun for most people, would be that handgun. Now, Caleb and I had previously done lists that we stretched out to five or six, but I'm going to tackle it from the one gun standpoint this time around. So shifting gears a little bit, if we're under 21 and handguns are hard to get a hold of because of the regulations, you can own a handgun at the age of 18, but you cannot buy one from a federal dealer. So if you then have to shift to rifles, even in the personal protection role, then you're probably looking at a some sort of inexpensive AR-15, or you may be looking at a manual action rifle of some sort, like a lever gun. You might get a 92 from Taurus or Henry, or one of the magazine fed lever actions or bolt actions that are out there, depending on your jurisdiction. So your age, your living circumstances are going to dictate what your one gun is in under most circumstances. You might use a shotgun in those particular circumstances, because you can still buy one as a long gun there. And there are a lot of reasonably priced pump action shotguns out there. My 590A1, it's an SPS, so you'd have to be 21 to own it. But my 590A1 ran me, I think, $399 done. Like, and I added a
Right,
bunch of
done deal.
parts. And I added a bunch of parts to it. So it was very affordable. It was something I would have been able to afford at 18. And it would have done the job very admirably if I had taken the time to learn shotgun manual of arms at that stage. But I was a Marine. Rifles were the way. At the time, I was fully convinced that we should go 308 across the board, ditch the M16, go to an M16 equivalent AR-10 of some sort, and take good old battle make good old battle rifles great again. I am no longer convinced that is a great idea. I have shifted in my mentality, and I do believe that lightweight, high velocity continues to be the way, and I hope to see some of that hybrid case technology. I've mentioned this before. I hope to see some of that hybrid case technology show us just how much ass you can put behind a 5.56, especially a heavy grain 5.56, and what it can do. Because I really do think we can make that a 1,000 meter cartridge if we put a little more gas behind it. And if we have the case tech to do that safely and actually be able to launch those things at, 3,100, 3,200 feet a second in the 77 grain range, out of shorter barrels, just because we're getting a better pressure behind the round, I think we can see some really cool effects out of 5.56 still, which means we still have 30 round mags. We have a massive logistics base that the only thing we need to do is proof test the new ammo in the guns. So we might have to rebarrel them, which is not a simple process. But we're not changing a lot of the training logistics or anything like that. We're just slowly shifting it in a more efficient direction. But now we're onto the NGSW and away from the one gun program. So let's shift it back. So the one gun growing up, like you, I would have picked a rifle. I would have picked a 308 bolt gun, or I had a 35 Remington lever gun, still do. That would be a f it was a f it's a phenomenal deer rifle. It's good to 200 yards. It fires a 200 grain bullet, very, very simply. If you need lighter recoiling stuff, you can use the 150s. Plenty of distance. You put a few rounds in it. That 35 Remington would have been an excellent do-it-all rifle. Still is an excellent do-it-all rifle. But the only thing I'd update is the glass on it a little bit. I think it's a little overscoped. My father, I think, overscoped it for what it does. So I'd probably put a 1-6 or 1-8 on it, where I think there's a 3-9 on it right now. And that would be a wonderful do-it-all rifle, including personal protection at home, because you get five rounds of very heavy, very effective medium game ammunition, and lo and behold, animals in the 200-pound range, give or take.
Right.
Fun fact, guys, mammal biology is fairly cross-special.
Yeah,
You hit the squishy bits in the right place and you get a similar effect. So yeah, rifles for a lot of the United States. However, the urban centers where both of us live now, more urban, suburban, we shift back to handguns. Handguns are definitely the most practical, and a comfortable, concealable handgun is the order. I wouldn't use my current EDC. I carry a Bodyguard 2 for the most part nowadays because it is super convenient, and that plays to the fact that I like being comfortable and lazy. So because I'm not limited to a single firearm, I do not carry the firearm I would carry if I was limited to a single firearm. The firearm I would carry would probably be the 365 macro. And in the holster that I've got it in, it's easy to carry with a spare mag. And that would be, enough for home protection if I needed it. That would be enough for do-do-do. That would be, lost my train of thought here. Mac and Allie texted. So it would be enough for personal protection. It would be enough for home protection. In a extreme circumstance, you could hunt and take game with, 124 grain plus P. It's not great from the standard standpoint of hunting, but you could do it. You could put something down like a deer or something. I could certainly shoot the deer in my backyard if I needed food. Little macro and work. So it would do all and be, a usable gun in an emergency circumstance. Now, if we open this equation up to the two gun scenario, I am always a massive fan of telling people who are getting into this that you really only need two guns. You really only need two. You need a reliable handgun and you need a reliable long gun that fits your lifestyle, your environment. I'm all now getting spam texts who are looking to see if I am the right person.
Yeah, going with the two gun. I mean, same for me. I'd have my handgun, my 43, and then I would keep it simple with my AR-10 308.
Yeah.
That's I get the range that I need. I can take out anything, any Midwest critter down, no problem. And then I have my protection with my 43. So that covers all the bases for me at living in the Midwest and being in the city and what still hunting and everything.
Yeah, and I think that that would be an excellent balance for a lot of people. I would tend to say more people would use 5.56 as a practical round than 308, but I certainly see the value in 308. I was heavy and still heavily invested in 308, and I will continue to be. I've taken a lot of deer with the SCAR 17 that's behind me right now. It is an excellent gun at a lot of things, and it could be pushed into that role of personal protection, home protection as well. And it's a lot of gun to bring to the fight. People could say, quote unquote, overkill, but again, you're limited to two guns and you want to cover as much as you can with those two guns. So if you're going with handgun and rifle, which would be my recommendation for most people, then you go handgun and rifle. The alternative to rifle, obviously, being shotgun, and that would largely depend on what type of additional games you are interested in, both hunting and or shooting. If you're more of a two gun, three gun type of person, then you're probably going to gravitate toward handgun and rifle. But if you're more skeet shooter, and most of what you hunt are if you hunt a lot of bird, in addition to deer, and you're in a firearms restricted zone where you can't shoot a 308 with deer, if that's where you're hunting, then shotgun may make a lot more sense. And then you can still configure a lot of shotguns for that long gun personal protection role. You're just using a very different ammunition with a very different range envelope and capacity than what the rifle can do. So the one gun conundrum really is the two gun conundrum, because I don't think one does it all. Firearms are too specialized. If you're picking one, you're picking the most important single category, but you can do it very well with two. You can cover down with two. If you have a rifle, well, if you have a long gun that fits your environment, and then you have a comfortable to carry and shoot handgun, a capable handgun, probably a 9mm, then you're golden. And that's not to say if you pick a 10 mil handgun because you're going to hunt, more with the handgun, that you're wrong. You're absolutely correct to pick that 10 mil handgun, even if it's a larger handgun that's a little harder to carry and conceal. There's still plenty of ways to do it. I've seen plenty of holsters out there for the Glock 40 and the Glock 41. It is eminently doable. Just like you can conceal carry a Glock 34, same rifle size profile. So if you're going to use an alternative ammunition to try and again squeeze more capability out of a single firearm, then by all means carry a full size, carry something with a longer barrel, carry something in a larger caliber like 10. And you could do that. You could also go the revolver route and carry a mid-frame or a large frame revolver that can both hunt and protect at home, and you still have, six, five, six, seven shots in that frame, and it is doable. You're just going to have much more sharp points, many more sticking points as you're trying to put all this together. Because if you're concealing a large frame revolver, you have all the weight and awkwardness that comes with concealing a large frame revolver. Same with a large frame semi-auto. Versus, again, you go to the two gun. You go to the two gun equation, you pick up two, and then you have all kinds of flexibility. So for the rural environment, for the environments that you and I grew up in, I would agree that a 9 mil handgun and probably a 308 long gun are like the pinnacle of coverage. You've got a lot of distance, you've got a lot of single shot takedown power in the 308. You have a tremendous amount of range out of that rifle. I think for most people, especially if we go back and look at the suburban and urban setting and less of the rural setting, I think a lot more people would be served with a two quote unquote pistol category right now until the wonderful tax change takes effect and our BBL lawsuit gets settled in our favor, please. And SBR has kind of become a notional. This wonderful thing of the past where it's like, oh, wasn't that a weird time when the law just said that certain ARs are not ARs, they're super dangerous ARs, and then other ARs are just ARs like any other semi-automatic rifle. And when the BBL wins and we have the BBL, everyone gets BBL. Everything's a Title I gun, then I think we will start seeing a wonderful proliferation of these guys. This type of guy. I think I showed this the other day, but I picked up on a very good deal 11.5 AR the other day. And I think that type of size category for the long gun for most people would be what they are looking at, probably in 5.56, both for economy of ammunition and economic availability, economy being price and availability being like we make it here, and it's not the prices of 7.62 and 5.45 right now. So looking at it from that standpoint, having the reliable 9 millimeter style handgun and then a reliable long gun like but sized appropriately for the environment, because in the suburban and urban setting, I don't need a 16 or 18 inch barrel. I'm not taking a 400 yard shot against a coyote. I'm protecting my family from down my hallway. And while 5.56 is good for both of those things, the size of my firearm could make it much simpler if I pick it correctly ahead of time. On top of that, you can still shoot that little guy out to 500 yards. I've done it. You can do it. It'll reach. It just has less gas when it gets there. But it's got enough of gas for a coyote. Anyway, guys, there's the one gun slash two gun conundrum. I don't have much more this week. I haven't seen any momentum on the BBL, so I don't have any positive or negative commentary on that. We seem to be yelling about the Epstein list without
Back.
ceasing right now. Epstein didn't kill himself, by the way. We're on that. That's what the clowns are talking about. I don't expect to see any 2A momentum on the BBL for a minute because we're busy screaming about Jeffrey Epstein. Anyway, guys, that's all I've got. Joey, you got anything else?
I'm all set.
All right, guys, we will come at you next week with a new episode, and Caleb will probably be back as he won't be working at the Taurus headquarters, where he has more important things to do than jaw at the two of us. Later.